This morning the sermon is called The Offerings of Our Mouth.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Father, thank you this morning for our time of worship to be able to sing things like You're Awesome in this place. And what child is this? And Lord, the songs that we lifted up to You. And I pray, God, right now that as we dig into Your Word, that You would speak to us in a mighty way today. And I give You praise for that. And I ask, God, that You would just pour out Your Spirit here in this house. And that we would be able to hear and understand very clear what You want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. As this morning, Brother Rick comes in early and he begins to load scriptures into the machine back there. And he saw the title of this message and he said, "Oh boy, I wonder where this might go today." So I just know that God is here in this place and he is going to honor His Word today. Go with me to the book of Psalm 119. Psalm 119. How many of you have memorized Psalm 119? Yeah, I didn't even memorize Psalm 119. But I can tell you that this is a wonderful psalm, and in it we find many things that deal with our lives today. But we're going to go to Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119:105 is where we will start. And you're going to recognize some of these verses. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I beseech you, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments." Again, there's probably 10 sermons right in there that we could preach and that we could learn about today. But today I'm going to major on verse 108. "Accept, I beseech you, the free offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments." This morning the sermon is called The Offerings of Our Mouth. This is where Rick said, "Oh my, this might get good today." The offerings of my mouth, and indeed we are going to talk about our mouths today. And this was something that the writer of this particular psalm had in mind. Now, for those of you that really don't understand this, the book of Psalms is a collection of songs and a collection of poetry writings. And in Psalm 119, this entire thing, we're not exactly sure who wrote this particular psalm. But let me tell you a little bit about this psalm, which is really interesting. Psalm 119 has 22 stanzas, okay? There are 22 stanzas, each with 8 verses. Now, if you notice in all of these, if you're looking at those, you will look at things like kaf, lamed, mem, and this one is num, or none, not num, none, okay? Now, what these are is these are letters of the Hebrew alphabet. In the Hebrew alphabet, there's only 22 letters. And so, therefore, 22 stanzas of Psalm 119. And each one of those stanzas has 8 verses. How many of you have ever recognized that when you're looking at down through this? And you, some of you say, "I'm going to count them, right? I'm going to count each one of them in Cheth and Jod and Kaf." These are all letters of the Hebrew language at the alphabet, and 8 verses in each one of these. Now, it has been supposed and down through history that perhaps King David wrote this and he was using it to teach his son Solomon the things of God and teach him the alphabet, just like Laura and some of her other teachers in here teach the kids A, B, C, D, E, F, G. This was a way of teaching the children the things of God. Isn't that cool? And the alphabet letters. So that's a little bit about Psalm 119. And there was one stanza for each letter. And this happens to be the 14th of the 22 stanzas in this nun. But I want to look at this, and I want to look at that verse of 108. He's asking the Lord, and he is beseeching the Lord, that the freewill offerings of his mouth would go forward. Now, as we look at freewill offerings of his mouth, this is not something that God is saying, you will say this. In other words, God is not making us give him praise. As Dee said this morning, why are you here today? Are you here today because somebody forced you to come? I hope not. Because sometimes kids say, I was forced to come to church. I don't want to come to you. Were you guys forced to come to church today? Good. That was a good answer. All right. You came because you wanted to hear me preach, right? Come on. Yeah. They're like, yeah. Free will offerings are offerings that we give with our mouth that are not forced by God, not forced by any other man, but these are offerings that we give to God. In this Christmas season, it is a season of giving gifts. And many of us have given gifts, we've received gifts, and we've been blessed. And so let's give God his gifts in this season, and not just in this season, but the rest of our lives. And these are gifts we give to God that are free will offerings. We're offering to God something that is very, very important. Let's not forget to bless God with the offerings of our mouths. We talked about this. I did, a three-part series on blessing the Lord. And so this is another way. God has been really trying to speak to our hearts, John, as far as blessing him. And when we make it about him and not about ourselves, things begin to change in our own lives. How many of you can testify about that? When you've made it about God and about others, things change in your lives. In every direction, many people complain about not having finances and say, oh, I'm always behind. I'm behind. I'm always trying to catch up. I'm always trying to catch up. You know why you're always trying to catch up? Because God has not been placed first in that area of your life. If you are a giver, it will always come back to you and you will never have need. That wasn't even part of the sermon today. But the Holy Spirit wants us to know these things. That these are free will offerings that we give and not with this grudging attitude to say, well, if I have to give a gift to Rhonda, I will. Right? Or, you know, it's Christmas and I'm expected to give a gift. You might as well not even give it. Because there's no blessing that comes along with that. The free will is saying, I want to give. I desire to give. And this is what the psalmist is talking about here, is that I want to give God offerings from my mouth. Psalm 89, if you jump back just a few chapters, you don't have to go very far. But Psalm 89, again, reaffirms this. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and with my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever, your faithfulness shall thou establish in the very, very heavens. Look at that. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and with my mouth I will make known the faithfulness of God. Do you understand the importance of this thing on the front of your face? How important that is, and the choices that we make with this thing on the front of our face. Because with this thing, we can bless God, and then in the same way, curse men with that same mouth. James said, my brethren, these things should not be that way. Listen, and I can recall, and I praise God for my parents and my father bringing us to church when we were little. But you know what? I would hear people singing the songs in church, and then whenever they got away from church, in their normal lives, cussing and swearing and carrying on and everything else, but then come Sunday morning, bless the Lord, O my soul. These things ought not to be within our mouths. They should not be blessing and cursing coming out of our mouths at the same time. But the psalmist said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth I will make known His faithfulness. You see, we get a choice on what we use this for. Are we using it to bless God? Or are we just using it to bless God on Sunday morning where we turn it on and turn it off? It's very important, the choices that we make and where we willfully allow our mouths to go. Some people say to me, I can't help what my mouth says. Really? And this has been proven time and time again with me being a pastor. I'll hear people cussing and swearing and carrying on, but when they come around me, they stop it. Why is that? And how is that if you cannot help it? You see, we can help it. All of us can help it. If we're understanding and paying attention to what this mouth is used for, the mouth was created to bless God and to sing of His mercies and to love Him and to speak forth encouragement and all the things that God has given to us. But what happens if we let our mouths go the opposite direction? There are some serious consequences to that. Now, some say today, well, Pastor, this is not much of a Christmas message. Yes, it is. Because it's our gift to God. Where we determine that this mouth is going to be used to bless God. And not the other things that are in our lives. Or what direction we willfully allow our mouths to go. Now, I want you to pay attention to that. All of us have a will, and we can decide where our mouth goes. Can I get an amen? Amen. We get to choose that. Young people, listen. We're told today in today's society, well, you know what? You don't have a choice. You are what you are. Yes, you do have a choice. According to the Word of God, you can use this thing to bless God. And I'm hoping that you guys remember that this morning. Matthew chapter 12. Why is this so important? Well, the Lord spoke about this when He was on the earth. Here's some sombering words out of Matthew chapter 12. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. Now, they had just accused Him of doing all the miracles that He had done by the devil. They were saying, well, you're operating by the devil's power. You're doing all these miracles by the devil's power. It's a bad thing to say to Jesus, right? And he says, oh, generation of vipers. You know, Jesus, he kind of called it the way it was. Some people picture Jesus as this loving individual, and they said that and say, oh, and Jesus, you know, you really didn't mean to say that. No, he didn't say that. He said, you generation of snakes. Now, pay attention to what he's just about to say here to these snakes. How can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You want me to read that again? Or did you get it? Did we get it? I say to you, every idle word that men will speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment. Well, Pastor, that's just for evil people. Jesus didn't say that. He didn't classify for the evil people. The words that we speak out of our mouths are important. And there's consequences. Now, for the believer in Christ, you're going to stand before a judgment seat. But that is not a judgment that is going to say, Jesus, say, well, you're going to go to hell or you're going to go to heaven. Because as a believer, by faith, you know your salvation in Christ. But there still will be a judgment that we will stand before the Lord and we will have to give an account for what did we use this for. Now there's none righteous. Is there any righteous in here? But we are to strive towards the words that Jesus said because there's an accountability coming when we stand before God. What did we use this thing for? Did we use it to bless God? Or did we use it to tear down people and to tear down God? I want the free will offerings of my mouth to be acceptable unto God. And those are the choices that we make. And it's so easy to get off, isn't it? Because we bless the Lord and truly, when we come to church, many of us are we want to truly bless God. But somehow or another, during the week, we let our mouths sometimes get away from us. And I'm not just talking about cussing. I'm talking about gossiping. I'm talking about putting others down. I'm talking about not uplifting. And all the things that we all know. And I hope we're convicted of the Holy Spirit whenever we're doing it. Because those are not the characteristics of godly men and women. And so, he's asking us to pay particular attention to the words that come out of our mouths. Because look at verse 37. By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So the importance of it is standing very, very strong here. Amen? So God gives us free will for us to decide. Psalm 19 now. Jump back with me. We're going to cover a couple things that the psalmist said. Psalm 19, verse 13. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you. How many of you have asked the Lord this particular thing? Lord, please let my words be acceptable. Please let my heart, the meditation, what's in my heart be acceptable to you. You know, when we begin to do that, and then when we remind ourselves of that on a daily basis, it begins to change the way that we speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O God. So when you get up in the morning, and if that will roll around in your mind, and again, I always say, let's put God first. When we get up in the morning, put your hands in the air and say, I surrender to you, Lord. That's my heart. That's my desire. Would you use me today? And by the way, Lord, let the words of my mouth be acceptable to you today. Now, when somebody does something to you and you get ready to call them a stupid idiot, you're ignorant, you're dumb, all of a sudden you should be able to say, let the words of my mouth be acceptable to you. Is that acceptable, God? We know that's not acceptable, so it begins to make a change in us. You know what? We need to live Christianity in a practical way and not just say, well, God says to do this, but there's no way I can do it. Yes, there is. There is a way we can do it by reminding ourselves, let the words that come out of my mouth today be acceptable to you. Let that be my gift to you today, God. That the words of my mouth would be acceptable to you. You know, our free will mouth offerings come with consequences. Whether they're good offerings that we put out to God or they're bad offerings. There's consequences that come. I just want to ring with a couple verses here and throw them up on the board. I've asked Rick to put Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. So we're going to look at just a couple verses here. Most of us have heard this before, right? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Oh, but Pastor, that's Old Testament. Oh, so you don't believe in the parting of the Red Sea either then, huh? Because that was Old Testament. You don't believe in the Ten Commandments then, because that was Old Testament. This is wisdom from God. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. What do you want? You want death or life? I mean, you want life? Amen. All right. That's in your tongue. Proverbs 21:23. Whoever keeps his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. You know, I have a lot of people, and I've heard a lot of people pray this prayer. Oh God, today I pray that you would seize my tongue so that it wouldn't do anything bad or say anything bad. God, just seize it. Just take it. Take control of it so I won't be able to say anything bad. God's not going to do that. He gave you a free will. You're made in His image. He's not making you do anything or say anything. So don't ask God to squeeze your tongue. Because He's not going to do it. He's given you the choice. Whoever keepeth his mouth. We need to begin to pay more attention to our mouth. Just two amens. Pay attention to our mouth. Because this is very clear that if we keep our mouth, it'll keep us from troubles. Some of you say, well, I better not say anything at all then. I better just zip it. If that's the case, then that's what needs to happen. Until you can learn to keep your mouth. Most people don't think about that. That we have to keep it. I heard some people out there talking about washing their cars because of all the salt on the road and whatever. How many of you like to spray off your car whenever you get a bunch of salt on it? Why do you do that? Huh? Come on, somebody tell me, why do you do that? So it won't rust. Okay? So it won't eat things up on the bottom of your car. So in other words, you're keeping your vehicle, right? You're keeping it so it stays nice. I know a lot of gun owners that, boy, they keep those guns clean, shiny, oiled up. Why? So they don't rust, so they don't go bad. You're keeping it. Some people pay more attention to their guns and their homes than they do to this thing on the front of their face. When the Bible is very clear, whoever keeps his mouth saves his soul from a lot of troubles. Psalm 141, verse 3. The psalmist here said, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips." Now again, the psalmist is saying, Lord, let me be ever mindful of what you've given me this mouth for. I'm telling you this morning that God has a purpose for this. For this morning, we understand the consequences. We understand what God wants. Now let's put it to practice. How can we give God offerings, free will offerings, of our mouths? How can we do that? Well, very simple. I've broken it down into three areas, and there's probably a whole bunch more. But number one, and I briefly touched on this, Wanda, glorify God on a daily basis with this thing on the front of your face. How many of us do that? Every day, glorify God with your mouth. Some of us say, well, I complain every day. Does that count? No, that doesn't count. That's not glorifying God. Because that flies in God's face that when you're complaining about what you have or what you don't have. And God says, in all things, give thanks because this is the will of God. Stop that. Glorify God on a daily basis. Turn back with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And I really love this passage of Scripture because this is when King David finally gets to bring the Ark of God into the city of Jerusalem. And you know, we find a lot of rejoicing here, and David dances in his ephod and everything. And his wife gets mad at him and all that business. And a lot of preaching on that. But I want to go to verse 23. And this is David glorifying God. Verse 23 says, sing. He's giving a song because of the joy that's now taken place. The ark's come into the city of Jerusalem. And he says, sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen and his marvelous works among all nations. I want you to pay particular attention to this. Part of glorifying God is using your mouth to give him a praise in front of unbelievers. How many of us do that? That's really important to do that. To sing his praise, declare his praise to the heathen. When you walk into a store and everybody, you know, we're just conditioned, or somebody says, well, how are you today? What should you be saying? Glorify God. I'm blessed today. Thank you. God has been so good to me. You know what? The heathen need to hear that there's a hope in this world to give them a hope. But you walk in to work and they say, how are you this morning on this Monday morning? And you walk in to work and say, oh man, it's Monday again and I gotta come to work. And they're going, yeah, I know. Things are horrible. Things are bad. Yeah, it is. It's so bad. What kind of a witness were you right there? Did you glorify God before the heathen? Come on, we need to start doing this. This is practical. Glorify God among the heathen. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Oh, He is to be feared above all gods. Man, that song just ripped right through my brain again. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. That's not the way it goes, is it? But it's the way it goes for me. I change it. It doesn't matter, right, Kath? Hallelujah. And He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, you kindreds of people. Hallelujah. Change the page here. Boy, they're sticking together. I must not have been here in a while. All right. Hallelujah. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
If you do nothing else, take what you just read here in 1 Chronicles and you begin to speak those out every day. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised.
Amen.
Now I got it. In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. How many of you remember that one? Just one. Thank you. Okay. Rick and I are the old timers here. Going back to those days. Come on now. Great is the Lord. Tell Him on a daily basis, glorify His name and let Him know how great He is. It really is fun. It really, really does work. Not only for us, those are free will offerings that you give to God on a daily basis. Instead of waking up in the morning and saying, good morning, Lord. Many of us are saying, good Lord, it's morning. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord. Thank You for another day. Thank You that I woke up again today. Me and Brother Rick, we do that all the time. Text or call. Good morning. Did you wake up this morning, brother? He says, yeah, I did. Well, let's praise God. We get another day. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Just look throughout that. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness. Give to the Lord, all ye people, praise and honor. How many of us can do that? Nobody raises their hand. Good. Okay. How many of you will do that? You can choose to do that every day. Your life's going to be much better when you do that. I'm telling you it is. Number two, talk of His wonderful works to others. Psalm 107, jump back over there. We're in the book of Psalms a lot today. And I know it's Laura's favorite book of the book of Psalms. Psalm 107, verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Why do you think we have worship time here? Come on now, yes. He turns rivers into wilderness. Has God ever turned rivers into wilderness and vice versa for you? A fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell there. And you see, God is able to turn from good to bad as well as from bad to good. He is a great God. And there, verse 36, he makes the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation and sow the fields and plant vineyards and may yield fruits of increase. He blesses them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffers not that their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He pours contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and makes him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoever is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Does God do wonderful works? Look around you. Has God ever changed things in your own life? Dee asks almost every Sunday, who has a testimony? What she's trying to do is get us to use our mouth to bless God, to give God a gift. Tucker, you have a testimony, don't you? Did you wake up this morning? Then you should give God praise for that. See, we remember when Tucker was a little boy. He's a big boy now. But Tucker was in the hospital, and the diagnosis was not good for Tucker. But God. And I can tell you, Tucker, your father was a man of faith then, and he is now. Believing the power of God, we prayed over him, and God restored you. Boy, did he restore you. He has something good to give God praise about. And there are many other things that will come. And in our own lives, God has done so many things for us. Talk of them. Tell the world about them, what God has done for you. That is a free will offering to God. That blesses him when you do that, when you tell others what he's done for you. Oh, well, Pastor, you know, that's just between me and God. No, it isn't. What God has done for you, he expects you to share that. Share it with the world around you. That blesses the name of God. Lastly, love and speak of Christ coming back. Do you know that blesses God's heart? When you talk about his son and you talk about what Jesus did and why he came and that he's coming back again. Now, you may say, well, they're going to look at me like I'm a crazy man or crazy woman. They already do. Don't worry about it. If you're a believer, they already do. But they need to see the hope that is within your heart. 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy in chapter 4, verse 8, henceforth, there is laid up a what? A crown of righteousness. How many believe that's there waiting? If you didn't raise your hand, come on, look at the scripture. Raise your hand. How many believe that's what God said, that there is a crown of righteousness laid up for those that love him? And look at this. And not only for me is that crown there, but for all those that love His appearing. You know, if you love something or someone, don't you usually talk about them? I mean, Laura's always talking to others about how much she loves me. Right? And we should be uplifting each other. And John, he just constantly is talking about how much he loves Charlotte. By faith. Right, John? We know he does. But listen, when we love somebody, we should talk about them. When we love God, we should talk about Him. And we should talk about what our hope is, that He's coming back, Philip. He's coming back, Johnny. He is, Rick. We should talk about that to others. He's coming back. He's coming back for me. And not only that, I'm going to get a glorified body. No more sickness. No more pain. I'm going to get a glorified body. He is returning and I'm going with Him. And if I die before He comes, I'm still going with Him. That's the hope that we have, my friends. And I got to share it with you. Come on, go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hallelujah. For if we believe, come on, that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. They've already died. They've gone before us. But the Lord is still going to bring them with us. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We ought to comfort one another with these words. Amen. Speak of them to others. And even in the congregation, when was the last time that you came up to somebody and you said, "Hey, Pat, one day Jesus is coming back. And I am going to meet Him in the clouds. And I am going to rise with Him. And I'm going to live with Him for eternity. And I'm going to be worshiping God." Isn't that good news? Comfort one another with these words. Many of us have lost our loved ones, people that were so near and dear to us, spouses and mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters, listen to me. Comfort one another with these words that one day we're going to walk among them. And if we're still here when Jesus comes back, we're going to see them flying up first. And then we're going to say, "Sheila, hold on, I'm coming up." Or as they say in the South, "Hold up! I'm coming!" The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive shall be caught up. That's what Rhonda refers to as the catching up. We're going to catch up with others. Think about this today. Let's give God free will offerings. Let's glorify Him daily. Let's talk about the things that God has done for us with others and with the heathen. And let's encourage one another in the things of God. Let others, even the heathen, know that you got a hope. Because when you live that hope, that's got to rub off on others. Can we do that, church? These are the offerings of our mouth that we can give to God. Don't just say to God, well, I'm going to give you my money. That should be good enough. God wants the offerings of your mouth. And He loves it. He loves it when we do that. That's a gift. Can we get God His Christmas gift? Every day, let's give Him a gift. Glorify Him on a daily basis. He loves it. Dee said He's crazy over you. How many of you are crazy over Him? Then show Him and tell Him that you are. You know, every day, I want to tell my wife that I love her. And I want to show her that I love her. I want to talk about how good she is. She's a blessing to me. And a blessing to so many others. Why do I want to do that? Because I love her. And if we love God, I want to tell others what a blessing He is to me. How wonderful He is. How glorious He is. He's the maker of heaven and earth. See, we can go on and on and on and on. And you may say, yeah, but God will get tired of it. No, He won't. He loves it. Can we do it? Will you choose to do it? That's the building up of the saints of God that He is desiring from us. Father, thank You this morning for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that that Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, let it pierce our hearts this morning and that we would begin to glorify You. We begin to lift up Your name. The freewill offerings of our mouth that would be acceptable unto You, God. And I pray that You would help us every day to do that. And Lord, when we use this mouth for something other, convict us, Lord. Convict us. Oh, I thank You for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now, the Word that God gives us always demands of us a choice. How many of you will commit to giving God more free will offerings? Would you raise your hand from your mouth? Now, God sees that. This is a vow you're making before God to say, Lord, I choose to do that. Father, thank You. I pray that You would give us more opportunity to bless You and to bless Your word. In the name of Jesus, God's people say, amen and amen this morning.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.